Hello, my name is Sheldon Clark. I'm a teacher at the New School and I'm involved in curriculum development and parent education. This is the second in a series of podcast episodes designed to discuss various aspects of Montessori philosophy and pedagogy. The purpose of this episode is to explore two Montessori concepts, the idea of work in a Montessori environment and the function of Montessori materials in the classroom. We'll hear a partial reading and commentary on two essays by Dr. Maria Montessori's grandson, Mario Montessori Jr., The Psychological Value of Work in School, and The Montessori Materials, Their Function and Relationship to the Child's Work, Play, and Social Life. Dr. Montessori was not only a physician, an educational theorist, but a keen observer of human life and development. In her thinking about the formation of humanity, the idea of work has a strong psychological value, that the ability to work is an important aspect of the independence of the individual. Because she realized the psychological value of the power of work in human development, Dr. Montessori triggered a new beginning in the study of child development. Her self-professed discovery of the child consisted of a realization of the specific function of the child in the formation of humanity, and it gave a new orientation to the idea of work in school. So let's start with what Montessori really meant by the idea of a child's work. Simply put, she described work as the developmental activity of an individual. She did not separate this activity into play and work, however, but rather considered any time that the child is involved in a way that they use both mind and body in ways to aid their health, well-being, to be work in the process of self-construction. In her book, The Secret of Childhood, Montessori wrote, "Man builds himself through using his hands as the instruments of his mind and will, which shapes its own experience face to face with its environment." In Montessori's view, work is seen as a vital ability whereby children and young people organize their potentialities. Now, Dr. Montessori understood a basic biological difference between humans and animals. In animals, she said, the link between an animal's behavior and its specific environment is clearly visible. The behaviors of a species visible from birth, instinctual, and fixed toward the animal's survival in the environment where it thrives. But Montessori did not see this link between the behavior of human beings and their environment in the same way. For the behaviors of humanity, she noted, are not predominantly determined by heredity and instinct. Humans have survived in all of Earth's different environments, not by instinct, but rather by adaptive response. As humans, we must create the structures which manifest as our behaviors in a given environment. This, Montessori said, is an act of inner creation, accomplished by people over the course of their youth in a dependent relationship with the community and environment in which they develop. But while children inherently facilitate their own self-construction, they need help from adults. That means that education has a fundamental role to play in the formation of tomorrow's adult, to offer adequate aid and stimulation to the intricate process of the child's self-construction. And given this idea of self-construction, we need to see work as a human phenomenon. Dr. Montessori believed that humanity has a purpose in life, to adapt to and improve our environment. It's only through our own activity, she said, by using the tools of our intelligence, the work of the hands, that we can change our environment. Work itself, as an expression of intelligence, is a fundamental feature of the human being, creative and adaptive. Now, a traditional concern in education has been to consider the manner in which a non-working child becomes a working adult, with the belief that this transformation is accomplished by molding the child from the outside. But this speaks of the prejudice of adults, who think that because a child functions in a different way, she does not possess the qualities one finds in an adult. But Montessori held that the child is building these qualities within himself, in his own way. Two simple stories illustrate this point. One at a Montessori conference where I was, and I was standing next to a woman with a baby on her shoulder. And the child was reaching over the mother's shoulder to a window latch mechanism, reaching over, holding the mechanism and moving it back and forth, back and forth. and I realized I was watching the discovery of interaction, the work of the hand to affect cause and effect. Another story I remember was watching one of my students. We were doing some community service at a daycare center, and one of my students was sliding cardboard colored blocks across the carpet to a child who looked to be about 2 years old. Some of them were red, some orange, some green. And as I watched, the child was taking each by their color and organizing them by group around himself on the floor. Referring to a similar story of his own, Mario Montessori called interactions such as these a perfect coordination of intelligence, perception, and movement. And what an intense level of absorption was demonstrated, he noted. While the activity had no seeming power and purpose, it did have an unconscious purpose, he said, performed for its own sake, the construction of what Dr. Montessori called the organs of the mind. Development of the mind is powered by this kind of interaction between the inner and outer world, but the motivation for it comes from within. In the younger child, through the absorbent mind in sensitive periods. But even as children age, the urge to learn, to adapt one's potentialities to the conditions of one's environment, accompanies a growing individual throughout the whole lengthy period of childhood and adolescence. As educators, our task is to aid the development of the child. In a Montessori setting, we do this by offering children prepared environments that stimulate their inner potential at each of the different stages of development. The psychological value of work in school, then, is dependent on how we organize a school, both in terms of pedagogy and the environment in which children do their work. And in this, Montessori believed that the children themselves should be our guide, for we find our success in their response. If children work with concentration and pleasure, then we've tapped the inner forces which direct their development. But if we do not reach this spirit, children may comply with our expectations for work, but the psychological value of the work is compromised, denied its intended function as a true aid to life. Now, as far as the Montessori materials themselves go, remember the main thrust of Dr. Montessori's pedagogy is to help young people on the path toward becoming mature and independent adults. Of course, a child's formative development must precede independence, so it's this process of inner development that is the child's major task. In this light, Montessori understood that education must be an instrument for the support of the child in the task of self-construction. The goal of a Montessori-prepared environment is to bring the world within the reach of the child at whatever stage of development she's in. And in order to achieve this, Mario Montessori tells us, the prepared environment should interest children in purposeful activities which will further them on their path. And if a spark is lit, Mario Montessori tells us, it awakens in the child an urge to explore each new insight through repetition of the action that led to it. The materials do not teach children factual knowledge. Instead, they make it possible for the children to reorganize their knowledge according to principles inherent to the materials themselves. Now, because the materials serve this function, Montessori referred to them as materialized abstractions. The materials not only take abstract ideas and present them in clear, concrete ways, but the nature of each material isolates one quality that the child is to discover through its use. For example, the Children's House material known as the Pink Tower is made up of 10 cubes of varying sizes. The preschool-aged child constructs the tower with the largest cube on the bottom and the smallest on top. The material isolates the concept of size and equal gradations. As the child's exploration continues at their level and through one Montessori classroom to the next, the materials interrelate and often build upon each other. For example, in Children's House, various relationships can be explored between the Pink Tower and the broad stair, which are based on matching precise dimensions. Later, in the elementary years, new aspects of some of the materials unfold. When studying volume, for instance, the child may return to the Pink Tower and discover that its cubes progress incrementally from 1 cubic centimeter to 1 cubic decimeter. The clear sequence of concepts and skills offered by Montessori materials provides children with a logical pathway to a learning of gradually layered knowledge. As Dr. Maria Montessori stated, practice makes permanent, and nothing goes into the mind that does not first go through the hand.